The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
5 o'clock. It's quitting time. Rick Butler with just a bonehead move once again about the hat. Trying to fix the AC. Can't even get the breaker. Can't even have it turned on. I mean, it helps if you turn it on.
Doesn't know the difference between being on and being off on a breaker.
All right.
I'm not even blaming you, Rick, okay? This one's going squarely on Warren and Pam.
Okay. First off, it's very dark back there. Second off, I was already told it was off. I was told it was off, all right? So, in the heat of trying to switch between the shows, I just flipped them and then got back to producing.
All right, Rick.
That's what happened.
Top five.
Number one, as we've kind of been talking about, LSU reinstates coach Will Wade after he had a meeting with the NCAA. He will be going back to coach at LSU. The NCAA compliance officials met with Coach Wade on Friday, and in those meetings, he answered all questions, denied any wrongdoing in connection with recently reported allegations of his college basketball recruiting. So, Will Wade, after having a quick suspension with LSU, will be back with the Tigers.
Just bizarre. I mean, we just talked about it. Just a crazy situation. I think it's going to blow up in their face.
All right, number two. The Tennessee baseball team, after taking 2 out of 3 versus number 2 Georgia. Wow, it is so much colder in here. This is nice. After taking 2 out of 3 versus Georgia, have moved their way back into the top 25. The Tennessee baseballs sit at number 25 with a 26-11 record. They were previously not ranked last week.
Tennessee baseball getting it done. Look like they're in a strong position to make the tournament, the conference tournament, and keep playing well, might have a chance for a NCAA tournament.
That's right. All right. What is this? Number three. Number three. A little bit of playoff action around the country. First off, in the NBA, Brooklyn will take on Philadelphia. The Nets up 1-0 in that series. Fans were booing Ben Simmons last game after he just went abysmal from the free throw line.
As they should.
He's not very good. Very overrated. And then in the night game, the Clippers are taking on Golden State at the Warriors' home arena. Warriors leading that series 1-0. And then over to the NHL and a little bit of local news. The Nashville Predators travel to Dallas to take on the Stars. That series is tied up at 1-1. Game puck will drop at 9:30 p.m. tonight. Why'd you give me that look after I was talking about Ben Simmons?
Nothing.
Do you disagree?
No.
I think he wants you to talk into your microphone, I think.
Yeah.
Was I not talking to my microphone?
No.
Well, it's way over here. That's my bad. Number four, the Sacramento Kings NBA organization have officially named Luke Walton as their next head coach. He will take over after they had fired Dave Yeager last Thursday. So Luke Walton, quickly after being fired by the Lakers, finds a new home in California.
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, maybe a surprise that it was the Kings that hired him, but I was not surprised that Luke Walton got another job. I mean, he's probably the hottest name there is in the NBA as far as coaching goes.
Yeah. And then last but not least, number five, today is Jackie Robinson Day in the MLB. All teams are celebrating and honoring today as the day that Jackie Robinson made his major league debut. All teams, like tradition, will wear number 42. I think one of the coolest things in sports, one of the coolest traditions, one of the coolest celebrations, honoring a player or some historical event happening. I love how all players wear Jackie Robinson's number. One of the most influential and one of the most important people in all of sports history.
I agree. It's pretty cool. pretty cool that they all wear the 42. Retired by all major league teams. So Jackie Robinson making his debut. Well, what was the year? How many years ago? Did it say, Rick?
This was in 1947.
1947. All right. It's your top five at five. Thank you, Rick Butler. Let's go to the phones. Jeff and Westchester have been waiting patiently through the break. Let's get Jeff in here. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Jeff.
Did y'all run Russ off?
Russ claims...
Allegedly,
Russ
Russell
claims
has,
to be sick.
Strep throat and not one, but a double ear infection. But now he's posting on Twitter earlier in the day about his first world, complaining about his first world problems of the local Arby's drive-thru being a bit slow.
Yeah, it's like 65, beautiful, not a cloud in the sky, and he's out sick. Give me a break.
I mean, in his defense, he texted us yesterday.
He must have got on weather.com. Hey, well, hope this fake illness gets better. I want to comment real quick on the Masters and then give a comment on the orange and white game. On the Masters, you know, I actually kind of used to be a Tiger hater a little bit because, I mean, back in, you know, 2000s, you know, you couldn't watch a golf event without everyone just all over Tiger, you know, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I'm for a comeback story as much as the next guy. And I also admire great play and what he did on, you know, just over the weekend and, you know, just his putting. I mean, I think that's what got him. Just, he was so solid on the green. Obviously he had some great approaches and everything else was just well rounded. But the one thing that bugged me though is it was kind of annoying every time. It's one thing to cheer for Tiger. It's another thing to cheer for everyone else to fail. Like when those guys were, you know, finding the water, and just to hear that the fans cheer, and because they knew that Tiger was about to get on, you know, in the lead or tie the lead, it was just really tacky. Now, I mean, what'd y'all think about that?
I mean, I didn't really hear it because I was too busy cheering. Brandon?
I get golf supposed to be, the gentleman's game. I don't really have that big of a problem with it. I do get where you're coming from, though, Jeff.
Well, it's just kind of tacky. I mean, it's just what you said there, man. They're supposed to, like, walk briskly to where they want to put their chairs for a reason. You know, they're supposed to be there's just an unspoken rule. You don't cheer for other people to fail, like, especially at the Masters. And so when they hit one in the drink and they're over here cheering and everyone, I get it. You know, everyone wants to be the one that was at the Masters when Tiger came back and got another green coat. But, man, kind of like, you know, subdue your emotions a little bit. But that's just my take. But anyway, real quick, out the door on this orange and white game. You know, it sucks having to kind of watch Tennessee take a downturn like they have over the last 20 years. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that I know you're not supposed to see fireworks and it's vanilla and all that. But, I mean, goodness gracious, we're garbage out there. Like, we can't get a throw off. And I know Garantano threw four touchdowns, but let's just call it what it is. We just can't get any offense going. And I'm pulling for Chaney to kind of turn that around. But as long as Garantano's back there, I just don't know that we're ever going to get a real good clicking offense going. And I look forward to the days when we can actually start scoring some touchdowns and having a decent team. And so if that's 10 years, then so be it. Great show, guys.
I appreciate the call, Jeff. And that may be the case with Garantano. He may not be the guy. He may never be the guy that gets it going. But I'm willing to give it a pass. I mean, Chaney's been on the job, what, two and a half, 3 months?
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely just still.
I mean, so it's still.
Still installing.
Still
the
very
offense.
Early. Still learning a lot. So I'm willing to give that a pass and willing to just wait and see till fall comes and then make a judgment on Garantano and how he looks under Jim Chaney. Let's get Westchester in here. Westchester, how's it going, buddy?
Hey guys, how we doing, Bear? How we doing, Cabo?
Doing good.
Not bad.
Hey, let me just make sure I understand this Will Wade thing, because I'm kind of confused. Basically, he got this top-notch attorney and said, so his contract says that until the NCAA actually charges you guys with something, you can't fire him?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, it sounds like it comes down to the NCAA isn't investigating us at this time, so he still has a job.
Basically, I mean, I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's what it sounds like. I mean,
right.
Because you're right, because right now the NCAA is not looking into it. Right now it's just the FBI.
Right. So on to football, because that's all I really care about, LSU basketball. That's all I care to talk about it. But the orange and white game, I think Chaney has a decision to make. I think he has to decide. And, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to tell us what he's thinking, but he has to decide if he wants what he's going to do this year with this abysmal offensive line that he inherited to try to win. And he's got to decide if he's just going to write this year off and build his players for his program that he wants to run and his system that he wants to run and just be better in 2 or 3 years when he gets his guys in. I don't know what he's – I mean, I don't know what his system is, but I promise you what we have here doesn't fit it. And he probably knew that when he took the job too, so I don't think he should be surprised by what he's got or where he's at. I just don't know what we're going to do this year when we still have that atrocious line. I don't see any improvement when they look that bad. Y'all got anything positive to tell me on that?
Well, I mean, for what they're paying him, I hope that he can at least try to make something work, at least get something positive out of it. As far as the offensive line, I mean, Dan Harrelson on at the beginning of the show, and he said that if it was an actual game, he thinks that Brandon Kennedy probably gets out there and plays. So there's that. Wanye Morris still, he's only been here a couple months, so give him some more time in the strength and conditioning program, and I think you see some improvements out of him. So I'm still optimistic, but as far as the players go, I mean, it's still a work in progress. I think it's like not only the offense, but the team as a whole. I mean, it's going to take some time to build everybody up to get the pieces that we need in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Bear's not going to talk to me this year in 8 wins. He did it last year, but he's not going to do it to me again this year.
Oh, yes, I will, dude.
No.
My Twitter handle,
I'm going to keep remembering my Twitter handle every time you start talking about how good we're going to be.
Well, you'll be back. You always are.
No, I'm going to keep the negative the whole way through and go with that instead of getting heartbroken by Bear again, because I tell you what, you haven't lived so you've had Bear break your heart, and when Bear breaks your heart, it hurts. But
it was a theory.
I'll tell you one more thing I'll get out of here is you know, the Lady Ball fans have reached a new depth and I never thought I would see it. I never thought I would see the Lady Ball fans clinging to a men's basketball player at a softball game. That's the only hint of success that they can get. See you guys. Have a good show.
That was kind of a cheap shot there on the way out the door. Westchester?
Did you see Grant's pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the best.
Yeah, I wonder how many times he's actually done that crazy wind-up softball pitch, though.
If that's you, if you're out there throwing the first pitch, do you do the wind-up or do you just...
I feel like a baseball.
Yeah, I wonder if he had to throw it underhand. Feels like that puts himself more at risk.
Have you ever had somebody pitch to you like that?
Like wanting and throwing it hard?
Yeah.
No.
It's not as easy as it looks.
No, I guarantee. I mean, I know, don't want to spend a lot of time talking softball, but I mean.
Do you think Russ could hit one of the Lady Vol pitchers?
No.
Huh.
No, I don't think so.
He thinks he could get a hit off a major leaguer.
I know what he said.
What do you think he has a better chance? Hitting off, getting some kind of contact on a major league pitcher?
Out of 150 pitches, that's still a lot.
I mean,
that's a ton of pitches.
Ever for once when his name comes up.
I think I could do it too.
Just stop White Knighting for it.
I would just put the bat out there.
I mean, if they're throwing just straight down the middle, Russ could probably make contact. He may get a hit. Now, if he's going up against one of the girls over here that play softball for Tennessee, and they're throwing the sinkers and the rise balls
with some extra stank on it.
He ain't hitting that.
Hell no.
And as close as it is, as close as the circle is, I can't remember the exact measurements, but it's closer than
baseball.
Than what it is in baseball. I don't think he's hitting one of the softball pitches.
We'll have to bring this up with him whenever he comes back. Hopefully tomorrow.
865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. The drive continues. Brandon, Baron, Rick with you. When we continue, we'll have the docket. Coming up next,
The Drive.
Realtor
Bean. The Drive rages on.
The Docket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DHE today at 865-566-0800 or visit DHE-US.com.
Time for the docket presented by Disability Advantage Group. Oh, we got a good one today, Bear.
Hit me.
Police sorted out quite the scene at a Wisconsin Walmart involving a naked man, a shoplifting dog, and a woman performing karate. Officers responded to a theft report at a Walmart in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Wednesday around 8:30 p.m. Employees at the store said a woman and her dog had shoplifted items from the Walmart. When police arrived, the officers found 46-year-old Lisa Smith screaming in the store's entryway, trying to catch her dog, Bo. They learned her 25-year-old son, Benny Van, was also in the store, causing problems. While investigating the report, police learned how wild the scene at the store had gotten. Police say Smith came in with her dog, who was not on a leash. As Bo approached customers, Smith allegedly began tearing apart store displays and putting them in her car. Staff members asked her to leave, at which time she walked out of the store and started performing karate moves in the parking lot. Meanwhile...
What?
Yeah. Just started... doing karate.
Does she know karate?
Judging by the look of her, I would say no. Meanwhile, Bo helped himself to a box of Jiffy cornbread muffin mix and headed out the store.
Is that her naked son?
No, that's the dog.
Oh, okay.
Bo is the dog.
He wanted him some Jiffy cornbread mix, huh?
Benny is the son. Meanwhile... Van, who is her son, Benny Van, had moved to the back of the store and removed his clothes, exposing himself to other customers.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. He picked new clothes off the racks, but did not pay for those items, police said. As officers approached, Van reportedly tried to run an officer over with his scooter. Police stopped the scooter and arrested him. Van is facing charges of lewd and lascivious behavior, disorderly conduct, and retail theft. Smith was arrested for disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and a misdemeanor charge of bail jumping. Bo, the dog, was given a warning for theft and was taken to the Humane Society after he was caught by officers. My first question is this even real? This sounds so made up.
Yeah, it's truth. Sometimes it's stranger than fiction.
That
you
it
ever
is.
Heard that saying?
I have. Have you seen the mugshots of these two clowns?
Yeah, I just looked it up. She's 46.
That's what it says.
Wow.
She looks. She looks a lot old.
A hell of a drug.
It's a hell of a drug, Bear. And Benny, 25. Just a year older than me. Wow. I mean, did they have to involve the dog?
I'm older than her. She looks like she's, what, about a good 15, 20 years older than me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she looks rough. She looks rough.
She can do karate moves, though.
She's probably just out back twirling her hands up, and she doesn't know karate. There's no way in hell she knows karate.
All right. I put that one up there with the guy tripping on LSD and broke into his neighbor's house that was supposedly on fire to save their golden retriever, but the house wasn't on fire.
I mean, that one's bizarre. That is the docket brought to you by the Disability Advantage Group. DAG, formerly Ogle Elrod and Brill's Disability Department. Attorneys at DAG have handled thousands of Social Security disability insurance cases, including all levels of appeals, helping many clients obtain much-needed compensation following disability, injury, or long-term physical ailment. They've had years of experience helping clients across the United States obtain compensation that they deserve. So whether you live in the area or wherever you live in the United States, give DAG a call. You can give them a call, 865-566-0800, the Disability Advantage Group. Let's go to the phones. Let's get Wes in Franklin. Wes, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, how's the pride of Granger County doing?
I'm great, Wes. I'm great.
Two best things to come out of Granger County are Mayors and Brandon Orrick.
Don't forget Skylar McBee, Wes. Don't forget Skylar McBee.
I forgot about him. Hey, I was listening to Westchester's call as I'm sitting here in traffic. What did he say? Give Cheney 2 to 3 years to get this offense going? Cheney doesn't have 2 to 3 years. This is year two for Pruitt. Does anybody think he has 2 to 3 years to get this going?
Not at 1.5.
We've got to show progress this year. We got to at least get a bowl game, right?
Yeah, so I mean, if we don't make a bowl game this year, I don't think he gets fired, but Pruitt's definitely on a scalding hot seat. And, I mean, like Bear just said, for what are we paying at 1 point? Is it 1.5 that we're paying Cheney?
Yeah.
For 1.5, he better find a way to make the offense work and score some points.
Well, that's kind of his forte, right? Doing, getting the ball into his playmakers. And he hasn't been able to, or proven that he can, do several different styles of offense to fit whatever personnel he's got? Isn't that what he's known for? And I don't know. I just don't think you can tell much one way or the other from the spring game. Do you?
No, I mean, it's always the question that I hate whenever spring practice or fall camp rolls around and the offense is looking good. And is the offense good or is the defense bad? It's hard to tell. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer those questions.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out soon enough, huh?
Wow. Wes and Franklin.
That was on the list of things I did not expect to hear today.
No.
Was that Notre Dame's fight song that he was singing that to?
Yeah.
Wow. Just wow. The one, the only, Western Franklin. 865-546-8200. Take a quick break.
Ooh.
When we come back, we will talk Game of Thrones. We'll try to get Russell Smith on the phone. He said he wanted to join us for this segment. So we'll talk Game of Thrones next segment, Season 8, Episode 1, last night. We'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865 865-
866-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Oof.
All right.
Let's get in the zone. So what happened? Were you able to get Milkshake Man on?
No, I tried calling him. No answer. I actually think he might have denied my call.
What do you mean? Try him again on the air.
It felt like it didn't ring enough times. Okay, I'll call.
Yeah, call him. Well, Brandon.
So hold on. Before we start, if you've not seen last night's episode, go ahead, turn the radio down. Check back in a few minutes. We don't want to spoil it for you, so I'll give you 5 seconds to do so. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Okay, so we're assuming if you're still listening, you watched last night's episode of Game of Thrones. Spoilers, major plot spoilers, lie ahead.
All right. So, major takeaways from last night. Jon Snow now knows his true identity.
Aegon Targaryen.
He knows
six of his name.
He knows that he is the son of Rhaegar Targaryen, Lyanna Stark. He knows. He is the rightful heir to the Iron Throne.
Or is he?
We're just going with what we know. We're just going with what we know right now. No theories, just what we know.
Can I say something here? This is what threw me off about this part in the episode. The guy just got told that he has been in bed with his aunt. And he goes, I don't want the throne, or I'm not the king. But I feel like a normal dude's reaction would be like, he just swept right over that.
Man, the Targaryens are known for, you know.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, then I guess it's just in his blood not to really care about it.
Yeah. You got the whole Lannister thing.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's not as frowned upon in their world as it is in ours.
Well, now, speaking to somebody that binged it, and I'm talking like 2 months ago, I had never seen an episode. Hell, a month ago, I don't think.
Yeah, less than that. 4 weeks.
Like last night's episode, I thought was really good. I mean, you got to know it's been 2 years. They got to set some of this stuff back up.
Yeah, my thing was, I thought it was a good episode. I just thought there was a little bit wasted with the John and Danny on flying on the dragons. Okay, I get it that you have to set up that he can ride the dragon. But
here's a thought I had about all this. If last night's episode had been the final episode of season 7, it would have made much better sense. Been a lot better. Been a lot better received.
Yeah, but that's not the same cliffhanger as, you know, the army of the undead busting through the wall. I think you needed this episode because, you know, and we kind of talked about it during the break, but we do love these huge, giant action scenes, and we know they're coming. And essentially, these 6 episodes still have the same runtime as last season. But a lot of why we love Game of Thrones is the character development, is the conversation that happens. I thought it had that, and I also thought it had a bunch of really good references to previous seasons. You had all the people in Winterfell kind of, you know, standing there waiting for the queen to show up, just like they did in the first episode of the whole show. Even the cave, right at the end of the end of when they were flying around the dragons, direct callback to Jon and Ygritte inside their little cave with even similar dialogue.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the whole dragon thing.
I thought that was awesome, and I do think that foreshadows something.
I mean, yeah, it's just setting up the fact that he can ride the dragon now. I mean, you couldn't just throw him on the back of a dragon then expect him to fight the Night King. I feel like that was the only thing relevant from that scene. Other than that, it was just a waste of time. But I agree, there was a lot of symmetry with, like you were pointing out, Rick. Also, the scene at the very end, the end of the first episode of season 8, Jamie and Bran, the end of the first episode, season 1, Jamie pushes Bran out the window.
He refers to him as old friend. I'm waiting on an old friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to how that plays out.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's probably who he's talking about.
Next,
that's exactly. He was waiting on. Yeah, he's waiting on Jamie.
He saw him coming.
Hit me. That's the
yeah.
One.
He saw him coming. He's the three-eyed raven.
Do you think Bran? Do you think Bran even cares?
Yeah,
I don't.
Cares about what?
The fact that Jamie's there and he pushed him out of the window. I think
he said he's waiting on an old friend. He obviously has something to say to him. I think it's a big part of the story. I don't know if he's. I don't know what. If you think about it,
other than killing his cousin a few seasons ago, it's one of the few like really bad things that we've seen his character do.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely had his arc is definitely one of the most interesting. Throughout the show.
But here's my thing with Bran, is that if he doesn't even really consider himself a Stark anymore, he doesn't really consider himself, a brother of Jon or anything like that, I feel like he's not going to really care about what Jaime did. I mean, he cut off the whole welcome introduction to be like, hey guys, let's not forget there's an army of undead with a freaking ice dragon coming to get us. I feel like he doesn't have the time for all these apologies and fixing of relationships. I feel like he's not going to care.
I don't know. I feel like I'm interested to see what their conversation is.
Yeah.
Because I feel like.
Do we see Danny and Sansa getting into it? Feels like there's going to be a cat fight there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I feel like it could kind of end up being the Stark girls versus Danny.
With Jon somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and then it leaves Jon in a interesting spot. Danny was not well received in last night's episode by really anybody.
Well, the Northerners don't like foreigners.
I think they did a really good job of kind of setting up Danny to be skeptical in the viewer's eyes, because they made the whole point about Samwell's family to kind of make you feel a little differently towards her.
Just a crap move by Danny. I did not.
And she was stone cold about it. She was like, I'd do it again if I had to. Or at least that's what I read from it.
Poor Sam. I did not like the way they portrayed Sam. I mean, Sam is going to be a key part.
Oh, my God. You're not doing the John Reed take, are you?
I was talking to John with it earlier. I had lunch with John, actually.
You went out to lunch with Littlefinger.
I didn't go out to lunch. I ran into John at the place we were both in. I ran into him. We were talking about it. And I agree.
Did you guys go eat?
Jersey Mike's.
Oh, okay.
It's the club sub. This is the daily special today. Heads up, Mondays, Jersey Mike's. Go to. But yeah, I didn't like the way they portrayed Sam. I agree 100% with John.
Which part didn't you not like?
How they just
I don't really get it.
They made him look like the loser that he was when he first came on the show.
How?
He's bumbling around, falling down the steps whenever he's going
it's
down.
It's dark in that crypt, Sam. Well, I mean, Tarly's just—he's kind of clumsy.
Yeah.
I don't think they're taking shots at him.
I think that too. He's always been a clumsy guy. And he told John, he said, me, and the only dude who figured it out was your brother, who's got all these weird powers. We're the only dudes who figured out that you are Aegon. Nobody else could have figured that out. I mean, that's a power move.
But I didn't like the way that Danny passed the information along to him.
Well, I think that was more supposed to make you not like Danny.
No, it didn't.
I'm against
Daenerys now.
On her right now.
Are you? How do you feel about Daenerys right now, Bear?
I don't have a problem with her.
You don't have a problem with her?
No,
I do. I'm 100% in.
His dad was a jerk.
No, but what was
he
the line?
He had a chance to bend the knee. He didn't bend the knee. He got burnt up.
Okay,
it's because he was.
But
partial
he still.
Some hot
the
chick
door.
Shows up with one of her dragons. And she tells you to bend the knee. I'm bending the knee.
But what about that line that Sam said? And he said to John, he said, you gave up your crown to benefit the people or whatever it is. And then he said, would she do the same? And the answer is obviously no.
I don't see how you can say that. She hasn't been presented with it. She's always been a good character. I think she will continue to be a good character.
I mean, she comes only off, executed Sam's dad and brother.
She comes off to me as arrogant.
No, I won't have it. Let's move along from Danny before you guys really piss me off.
Okay, where would you like to go next?
We need to go to King's Landing.
Okay, oh, Cersei? Okay. You think she's really pregnant, or you think this is just some kind of ploy?
No, I think she's pregnant, and I think that's why she let the whatever that guy's name
is.
Euron.
Euron Greyjoy.
No, urine.
Whatever.
Not like pee.
You think she's going to use that as a cover-up?
Yeah.
Hey, that was a great theory, Bear.
It's exactly
you sent that in the group text last night. That hit me.
I feel like she doesn't care, though, now, right? I mean, she told Jaime. Because, I mean, we all know it's Jaime's. But
I think she's counting on Jaime and Tyrion never coming back.
Well, she's sending Bronn after them.
To make sure they don't come back. They betrayed her, according
to her.
And
how about that? This is what I took from it. It's the same crossbow that Tyrion used to kill Tywin.
Yeah.
Poetic justice.
It's the same crossbow that psychopath Joffrey killed Rey.
Could that be the weapon that eventually kills Cersei?
That's my theory.
One of the brothers gets a handle on it.
Tyrion kills with the crossbow in the Red Keep.
Yeah.
I hope it's Jaime. I want Jaime to kill.
I think it's
going to kill Cersei.
I really think it's going to be Bronn.
I think bad things are on the horizon for Tyrion right now. They're not presenting him in a good way. I mean, he basically told all the people in the North that the Lannisters were coming to help. That's obviously not the truth. I think Jaime's about to come and be like, hey, the Lannister army's coming, and not for a good reason. And then Tyrion's just going to look like an idiot. I mean, Sansa hit him with the, used to be the cleverest person I knew. Bam.
Yeah, she hit him with the, you should know not to trust Cersei. But one of the most pressing issues, or the most pressing issue. So, John sends Lord Umber, the little boy, back home to get all of his, to get everybody to come to Winterfell to get ready.
Right.
Sends him off at the beginning of the episode. There towards the end, Beric and Tormund and that crew
the Brotherhood
that's left from Eastwatch has made it down to Last Hearth, and they're walking through the castle there and run into, I cannot remember the guy's name, but he's the guy that John left in charge of.
Ed.
Of
something like, is it Ed?
Or Pip?
No, it's not Pip. Pip's dead.
I think it's Ed.
But left him in charge of the Night's Watch. Runs into them at Last Hearth. And then they discover the little boy that
Lord Umber
that John sent to get everybody, basically nailed to a wall with the symbol that apparently keeps showing up
from the Children of the Forest. Yeah,
keeps recurring in the show. Rick, you pointed out, we were talking about it last night, you pointed out that it was in the first episode, at the very beginning, when it shows the wildlings
and the White Walkers,
yeah. So apparently, it's there. I also noticed it's the same symbol that's around the tree. Whenever it shows the children turning that guy into the Night King,
yeah,
it's the same symbol.
Yeah. And then
it's very similar to the Targaryen's sigil.
I want to know what it means. I want to know what it means.
We got 5 episodes. I think we're going to find out.
Yeah, his name was Ed. E-D-D.
Good to see that. I'm glad they're bringing him back into the fold.
Yeah, it's nice.
That was did that moment get you guys with? It got me with a huge jump scare. Like I went like a. Like Game of Thrones doesn't often have a lot of horror moments, but that jump scare, that one got me good. That one got me.
You were expecting the Night King?
No, not expecting the Night King. I wasn't expecting. Like, I kind of saw his eyes open, and then I was like, oh, no. And then he goes, and I went,
Okay.
So, the Army of the Dead, they've already wiped out the Umbers, and they're well on their way
To Winterfell.
To Winterfell. And we've got one episode, so everybody basically knows that the big battle scene is coming in episode 3. So we got one episode setting up the battle. And then the battle will take place 2 weeks from yesterday. And that was it. Anything else? Anything else before we take the last break here?
We'll take the last break. We'll be back in the throne zone on Friday with a
preview.
Yeah, preview of what we think is going to happen on Sunday night. Look forward to everybody joining in on that. And last call for phone calls.
All right, 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show. Overtime coming up at 6. We'll be with you. The drive continues right after this.
The drive.
Can you believe it?
865-546-8200. Final segment of the drive on this Monday. Overtime coming up next. Tanner Carson, Cole McCormick, Daniel Brackman should be out there, but is in typical Daniel Brackman fashion, running late.
That's a shocker.
Let's get Roger in here. Roger, how's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Doing good, Roger.
Fantabulous.
Cool. I just wanted to talk to you about the game right now. I just wanted to ask you, Brandon, about I went to had a lot of fun at it. Just want to ask you the same thing. Just want to ask you what you thought about what you saw. Anything stick out to you? The game Saturday night. Anything?
Other than Kavarius Crouch and Tank McCullough, not a whole lot. I mean, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's a very vanilla intra-squad game.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the secondary looked pretty good. Offensive line still a little bit of a concern, and like Bear said, I was impressed by Crouch.
Okay. I just wanted to ask y'all about defense. I thought defense played better. I thought the offense played good too. But to take from all to get going, I just want to ask you. Was you probably defense played better than offense? Was you probably that?
No. Usually, I feel like the defense usually plays a little better than the offense. That it's usually a little bit easier. It's more just reacting to what the offense does, and offense you gotta learn the scheme and all of this. So I wasn't too surprised that the defense the fact that Jeremy Pruitt's a defensive guy. I wasn't too surprised that the defense was a little ahead of the offense.
Okay, Bear, how about you, Bear? Would you probably about the defense being better than the offense?
I don't put that. That's the whole problem with me in spring games, Roger. It very rarely resembles what goes on in the fall. The spring of '98 was one of the worst spring practices. If you talk to people that were around there, or I've heard, it wasn't particularly good. They didn't look very good. Defense didn't look real good. But, you know, come September 1st, we were. You know, or by the end of the season, we're the best football team in the nation. So it's just kind of hard to tell, buddy.
Yeah, and I want to ask you a question, y'all, Brandon Bear Bowles. You think the part of the offense? You think with Jim Chaney being with the new system? You think Tonal is kind of? You think he's still learning a little bit about the thing? That's why he kind of traded a little bit early because he's still kind of learning a little bit about the Jim. It's kind of new system for him to learn.
Roger, I think that's part of it. They're just now installing the offense. It's put up or shut up time for him. I mean, it's not. I don't think Chaney's offense is, you know, by any means something super complex. It's fairly straightforward.
No, I agree. I'm with Bear, Raj. I think it's still a little early, so I think that might be a little bit of it. But I agree with Bear. I don't think it's going to be anything that's super complex. I think it's on Garantano to work and improve on the things that he needs to improve on. Raj, thanks for the phone call, buddy. We're up against it. It's been a good show today, boys. Talking Masters, orange and white game. Hopefully Russell will be back tomorrow. Hopefully he's feeling well enough to get back in here and do the show. Rick, appreciate it. Appreciate you for Bear. Rick, I'm Brandon. For some reason, I can't talk. This is The Drive. You got overtime. Tanner Carson, Cole McCormick, Daniel Brackman coming up next. You've been listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.